I guess you saw that, let me see if I got that on. Is that on now? I guess you saw the news to where that fellow that killed those three or four that was up in Idaho, he confessed today guilty on that right there. Now, that happened back in 2022. Here it is, 2024, 2 years later. And isn't that something? My question is this right here. Why are we waiting 2 years to feed and house that demon possessed? And the only reason he's confessing guilty is so he can miss the death penalty. And that way we can house him and feed him and all of that right there. What we need to do is we need to have somebody on the inside that's able to feed him his last meal and not at his request, all right? Well, there you go. That's my 15 cents on the tank. That's what's wrong with this country. I guarantee you. You know the reason why they're having so many riots in the street? Nobody's shooting them down, all right? You got 30 seconds to get off the street here and stop it, or you're going to die. And you do that a time or two, it's over. But see, Cain, if an officer does their job, then they want to lock him up, put him in prison. Can you imagine anybody wanting to lock up P. Diddy? But it looks like they're going to let him off for sex trafficking and child molestation and this and that and all that. Vince Gill's been in the news all the time. And, you know, he sings Christian, bop, rock, and I don't know. But what's he being locked up for? Does anybody know? I've tried to read up on him. And here's another thing that I'm wondering. Why is it whenever they tell you, here's five fruits that you ought to be eating if you're a certain age? And it takes them 30 minutes and you won't know when you're done if you even stayed with it. I don't want to know what the five fruits are that bad. It can lengthen your life. I'm not wanting to live long enough to be able to read all of this, take them fruit and this and that too. Take your Bible, if you will, please, tonight to the book of Genesis. Let's look over there in the book of Genesis. Those are just a few idle thoughts that I was having while I was trying to prepare and get ready. I realize to know that you're here. We're not here for a long time, but for a good time in the Lord. All right, take your Bible there, Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. Now, we already know this is where it all begins, right here in the book of Genesis. And we're going to begin reading with about verse number 16. And about verse 16. Now, I don't know how far we'll get on it and this and that, but hopefully. And unto the woman he said, that I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because that thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. That's pretty brutal, isn't it? And hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread until thou return into the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Now, Father, we ask a blessing to both the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it. How we praise you and we thank you. Thou art God, beside thee there's none else. Bind the devil if a demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want you to notice that whenever you begin to look into this Bible lesson that's here, that God intended for man, when he placed him in the garden, to dress it and to keep it, and so forth and on. And do you know that because some of his punishment is because of the fact that he listened to his wife, he wasn't deceived, as we find in the New Testament, that he wasn't deceived about the tree and about the fruit and about the right and the wrong, but his wife was deceived and he took of it free will just because of the fact she had already transgressed. I want to say to you that, if you will, that when you begin to look into him, you're going to find out the reason why we have thorns and thistles. I've seen people cussing because the thorns and thistles were growing, and boy, they're hard. Whenever you go to get in a patch of them to be able to keep them hoed out and busted out. Well, let me just tell you, when you see that, you're looking at the hand of God because of the fact that a man by the name of Adam, while he wasn't being deceived, but he listened to his wife and did the wrong thing. You know, in this lesson that you're looking at, we've just got through reading why women can't preach. Verse 16, in that passage, Jerry said unto the woman, I said, I'll greatly multiply thy sorrow and conception, sorrow thou shalt bring forth, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, he shall rule over thee. Now, all the way down through the rest of the Old Testament and the New Testament, here's what you're going to find out, is that a woman has lost her privilege of being a leader. See that? Now, that doesn't mean, listen, we've got some of the smartest women. I've had some of the most smart mouthed women you ever dreamed of in your life. But not here. I mean, you're a good bunch. I'm not beating you up. But I'm just trying to say to you that, if you will, there's a lot of times you gals swallow down while your husband don't have a clue what's going on. And you have to sit there and be silent. And if you try to help him, he wants to tell you how he's the ruler of you. And just do what I tell you. Oh. Well, how about telling me something that's right? See? But the woman lost the privilege. Now, all across the country, the Southern Baptists, I don't know how many they've got now, but back in the 90s, whenever I did an article on them, that, boy, that was so much appreciated. And all that, they had better than 1,200 women that were ordained preachers that were in, I'm talking about the Southern Baptist Convention. And let me say to you that, if you will, that just because there's a big crowd that's gotten involved in all of that, it's not going to make it right whatsoever. In the Bible lesson, you'll do well, you'll always do well, to be able to realize and know that life, and being able to have a life and to plan a life and to make a life, is not an easy task. It wasn't supposed to be easy. I mean, because of sin, they had a place in the garden where there was no sin, and everything they could take of the fruit of the trees and eat of every one of them except for that one tree. And isn't it something how that men and women and that we as human nature want the very one thing God said, leave that alone. Now, in the lesson here that you're looking at, in the sweat of thy face, I've had people on the job, you know, and of course most of the time I would be working on a job of some sort where that you're going to be sweating a little. And, you know, I'm not knocking those that have air-conditioned job, but anyhow, maybe it takes more intellect than I had, but what I do know is that simply this right here, that sooner or later you're going to have a little sweat off your brow when you're working and making a living. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that not everybody's got a white-collar job. I have one on Sundays at least and Wednesday night. But I was out there with a hoe trying to chop something, and boy, let me tell you, I can't remember if I need to buy a different hoe, but it wasn't but two. I couldn't remember how few licks it took to break into a sweat. So I have to really just take my time, you know, and work a little bit here and a little there in moderation. My muscle tone's gone. I mean, I doubt seriously where I used to could probably pick this up and move it around. Now I can't hardly pick up this big old stack of paper that's on top of the thing. As I look into it and see it, I realize that, oh, do you realize that God intended for us? I was preaching the other day in the last service that we had, and I talked about these men and talked about them being able to find out what God wants you to do. You know, it doesn't matter what you want to do. It's what God wants you to do. And then you ought to pursue it, and you ought to do it with every fiber of your being. Now, if you're a child of God, I don't care where you're at and what profession you're in, but if you're a child of God, you ought to be a representative of the Lord, an ambassador for Christ, wherever that you go and whatever that you're doing. I was looking over there. Don't lose your place, but look over there, if you will, please. And I believe it's in the book of 2 Thessalonians. We'll turn, start out there anyway. But we'll look in the book of 2 Thessalonians. There's a chapter that's over there that we ought to look at. Chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians. All right? Now, you're going to have to deal with wicked and unreasonable men. While you're in this life, that's just the way that it is. And the Bible said in verse number 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. All right, watch what he said. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that you may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. You know somebody that's unreasonable, that's wicked? They don't have faith. But the Lord is faithful, and who shall establish you and keep you from evil? Now, if we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do the will, do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts and love, the love of God into the patient waiting for Christ. See, you're busy working, you're busy looking, you're busy listening to the Lord and for the coming of the Lord. Now, verse 6. Now, we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which you've received of us. Now, by the way, when you look at that, you know, you can't go out of the world and get away from these wicked and unreasonable men, but you don't have to run buddy up with them. See what I'm talking about? In this lesson, he says, we command you in the name of the Lord Jesus that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which you received of us. Now, for ye yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, and neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but we wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not the power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. Now watch this. For even when we were with you, we commanded you that if any should not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, not working at all, but are busybodies. Isn't that something? I've had a lot of people in the last 50-some-odd years that I've been preaching that's tried to explain to me how sorry, good for nothing, and lazy some of their offspring was while they were setting up under air conditioning drinking some kind of suds. What is it you're doing? Oh, I can't. My health won't let me get do nothing and all that. I got to say to you that if you will, this Bible says, there are those that have just become busybodies because they're not doing their own job. Now, to them that are such, commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work, eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, know that man have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Now, you count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. I want to say that when you begin to look into that, while you back up a little bit to the book of 1 Timothy, over there in 1 Timothy, there's a passage that we ought to be looking at. I said back up, go forward, exactly what you're going to end up doing. And let me say to you that, if you will, that God's looking at us. He sees how industrious that we are. Now, these are all fine young men and all that business there. My wife this morning, she told me, and she said, now, I've got a big bag of garbage out on the porch. Thank you, dear. I'll get it out of here. See? And she'll tote it on down there if I forget, and I don't generally forget that, but she totes it on down there and all that. Some of these kiddos, they'll pick it up and they'll haul it. Sometimes the mule will come by. I hope we're going to get to keep the mule. That's been a fun piece there. How much you want for it? Think on that. You can tell us later. In this lesson, though, that we're looking at, life is just life. I don't care if you live here in Texas, if you go to Louisiana, if you go to California, Florida, life is just going to be life. And let me tell you right now, it's not always going to be easy. I know some of you that are in here would absolutely put me to shame, working two or three jobs at a time and all that business there. I don't know how you do it. I mean, I've never had that kind of energy. Of course, I'm 75 now. I'm never going to have that kind of energy again. Brother John was talking about his back hurting. He was out there doing a little bit of manicuring on the lawn and all that. Well, I understand it. Brother Ron and Brother Lucas there was trying to help you. Is that right? Y'all were out there doing that and helping that. I'd just live in proof right there if he's the only one. If you got a hurt back? No. If you got a hurt back? No. Live in proof there when you're... That's living proof. Whenever you're 80 years old, you need to retire. Let them handle that heavy stuff. See? I got to say that when you begin to look into this in 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Now in the passage there, here's what he said, verse number 8. For he says, after we recognize there's only one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Verse 8, I will therefore men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. And in like manner also that women adorn themselves with modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, and not with broided hair, gold, or pearls, or costly array. But which become women professing godliness with good works. In other words, ladies, here's what the deal is. You ought not to be dressed up where you're showing too much cleavage, so too much nakedness, and you're dressed up where you look like a gypsy road whore. That's all right. I appreciate both amen, but I know I'm right because I just got through reading it and I believe what it's there. You know, here's the deal right here. You just, it's like we live in a day and an hour of Baptistic women. You know, if you can get them into a dress period, it's got a lot shaved off the bottom and a lot shaved off the top. What makes a person wear on one of these, I don't know, snazzy sayings while they're got their armpits cut out and you can see pretty much everything, and if you just stop long enough to try to read it, you'll get a cussing. Why you? If you not want me to read it, why are you wearing it? I mean, I've been preaching all that for all these years. Nobody ever adheres to it. You know, the last thing that I want to do to be able to get my Bible lesson is have to read it off some woman's chest. You know, reason being is, you already know what the reason being is. All right, I've got to hasten on. This is Wednesday night. We're having fun. We're going to be leaving here any time and any minute and all that business there. But look in verse number 10. But you're dressed, not with all them jewelry and this and that. And that doesn't mean it's wrong to wear some jewelry. It doesn't mean that at all. I've got on some jewelry tonight. It's a watch here. It's too big for my shrinking up little wrist and all that business. But I've got on that, and there may be some of you have on others, and that's fine. I just said that ought not to be the only thing. People ought to be drawn to the Spirit of God that's within you and not after the outward things that are flashing before them. The Bible said in verse number 11, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Now, you know where that comes from? Back in Genesis. See, it's not, ladies, that you're not smart. You are smart. In fact, most of you, I should say, are smarter than your husband. You've learned a better lesson in a wider range of field and so forth and on. And let me tell you right now, it's not a matter that you could not lead and that you do not see what's right and what's wrong. You do. But the reason you cannot lead is you lost your privilege. Where to lose it at? Back in the Garden of Eden. Now, you know, there's going to be somebody going to come along. Here's what they're going to say. Well, you know, I was back in the Garden of Eden, and that don't count anymore. Well, here's something you'd better remember. You ever been outside a labor room where a woman's having a baby? Have you ever heard her in pain, in agony? waiting, and hey, give me that, whatever that is. Give me the saddle block or the belly block or the head block, or take a poker and knock me out or something. See? The reason being is because that's still in effect. He said, for Adam was first formed in Eve. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness and sobriety. Now, all of that right there, all that in the New Testament, comes from the Old Testament. That's still in very much effect. I said all that to be able to say this, ladies. Don't try to analyze, argue the point, to try to make yourself look better than God's. He's already said to honor you as a weaker vessel. But the reason why that women can't preach, women can't teach, can't usurp authority over men, they lost their privilege. Do you know the reason why you and I sit here and we're a sinner? Well, I can tell you exactly why. Because of Adam voluntarily going open-eyed into what he did. And now the Bible says over in the book of Romans, I believe it's in chapter number 8, somewhere along in there. But because of Adam, let me tell you, he's the first Adam, and he lost it all in the garden. There's another man that comes along, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God terms him in that chapter as the last Adam. The last Adam, Jesus Christ, bought back more for you and I than the first Adam lost. See? So, fellas, our job's pretty hard, isn't it? You got to do a lot of thinking. You got to do a lot of planning. Because let me tell you right now, it's hard in the day and hour that we're living in to follow the Bible, make a living, and so forth and on. It's just hard to do that. You know, here you are working in with some people. If you work with a Mormon, they've got two or three wives working out there. So, see? Are you making such a little bit of money? Are you living so high on the hog? You see, there may be a little bit of cutting back. Myself, my worst enemy is me. I don't need to get it, but I bought a truck that gets about 11 and a half miles to the gallon. I may have to borrow money to get all the way home, but if you see me on the side of the road, I just really need a couple of gallons of gas. Ain't God good? These are one of the reasons why, and I was going to preach a little bit about the perversion of the church and what's going on, and how far off base that in the day and hour that we're living in. But thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I'm a part of the family of God. Maybe the next time around, which will be another Wednesday after Sunday, and next Wednesday maybe coming up. Anyhow, when that comes up around the corner, and I don't know, I'll just have to look at my calendar, but I was going to be preaching on that woman over there that was sowing leaven that was in the church age and what God had to say about her. I was going to mention in that why we worship on Sunday. See? I mean, you know, we're always talking about the Sabbath day and this and that, but why do we worship on Sunday? Well, it'll be in that lesson and all that. And maybe, Lord willing, we'll be able to get to that and have some fun stuff to be able to mix in with it along the way. But I've studied up all day on that subject, and I thought, boy, that's pretty good stuff. And I think I'm going to study it a little bit longer. So when I got here tonight, I got sidetracked and jumped the rabbit and tried to run it down, couldn't catch it, but here we go. God is on the throne. My heart was thrilled, Miss Abigail. Thanks for filling in and playing the piano for us. I go to looking at all the piano players that we have, the musicians that we have, the singers that we have. I got to tell you, it's just good to be saved and to know some saved people you can serve God and be able to worship with. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Our Father, I pray your blessings upon these boys and girls, these young men, these young ladies. I pray you'd build a hedge about them. Lord, may you lead, guide, and direct them. May you save those of them that are not saved yet. May you give them a heart for God and show them and lead them and guide them and direct them, inspire them what, Lord, you would have them do for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray.